Welcome, great patriotic friends, to January 20th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and on this show, I cover a lot of ground very quickly, so please have your pencils ready. Or better yet, if you miss something, you can just listen to it over and over again. I don't mind, you can listen to me rant all day. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Speaking of overinflated egos, if you happen to be listening to me on iTunes, first of all, I want to say thank you very much for the 20,000 plus downloads. Awesome. And second of all, just so you know, I love a good review. So when you get a chance, go to iTunes and write me one. Thank you so much for that. I assembled this podcast in a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now let's begin the show as we customarily do with a Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. And now on to today's headlines. Big inauguration day. FDR is inaugurated to an unprecedented fourth term. JFK is inaugurated. Cowboy Ronald Reagan takes office. Richard Nixon takes office. And the passing of the presidential torch. All right, so now let's get started. 2009. President Obama rolls down Penn Ave, beast mode. The U.S. presidential state car, a.k.a. Limo 1, a.k.a. Stagecoach, a.k.a. Cadillac 1, is actually more of a Chevy Kodiak than a Cadillac. In case you wanted to get a closer look at Caddy 1, I'd be careful. This carriage makes the Batmobile look like a bicycle. It comes equipped with rocket-propelled grenades, onboard oxygen tanks, night vision specs, and bottles of blood matching the president's type. President McKinley would be the first to ride a presidential car in 1901, but his successor, Teddy, rode a horse through his inauguration with a steam car behind him. Well, because Teddy Roosevelt was a rough-riding horse rider, not car rider. Don't you know? Taft would convert the White House horse stables into a very expensive garage. Woodrow Wilson had one of the three Pierce Arrow cars. Harding actually drove his own car as he was driver qualified, and Hoover had a Cadillac. History would later teach Secret Service after the assassination of JFK that convertibles might not be a good idea anymore. The presidential carriage evolved into what it is today, with the world's largest 8-inch doors that are just as heavy as the outer cabin doors of a Boeing 757. Yes, the beast rolled down Penn Ave towards Obama's inauguration, keeping the president safe in a virtual bunker on Kevlar-reinforced run-flat wheels. President Trump revised the Beast 2.0, developed by General Motors, comes complete with a bomb-proof undercarriage and tear gas cannons behind the headlights. Like a beast! Presidential Inaugural Day. Let's start with 1945. FDR is inaugurated to his fourth term. This, of course, would be the only time in American history that that had happened. Now, several have sought out a third term, but never got it except for Franklin Roosevelt. When he ran, he was able to keep from the public the fact that his health was rapidly deteriorating. 3 months later, he died in office, and Truman took over, dropping nuclear bombs on Japan and ushering America into the Cold War. This led to the 1947 passing of the 22nd Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, limiting future presidents to a maximum of 2 elected terms in office, or 1 elected term if the president already served more than 2 years of another president's elected term. Now, candidates are forced to release details of their physicals, disclose income taxes, and reveal at least some details about their personal lives to the public before running for president of the United States. 1961, John F. Kennedy is inaugurated. Millions of people had watched the televised debates between Kennedy and Richard Nixon. Kennedy won the election in 1960 and became the youngest and first Catholic president of the U.S. Frank Sinatra played at the pre-inaugural ball, and 87-year-old Robert Frost recited his poem, The Gift, outright, and opera singer Marian Anderson sang the Star-Spangled Banner. On this day in 1961, Kennedy famously gave his speech saying, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." 1981, Cowboy Ronald Reagan takes office. He was an actor in B-grade Western films and on the hit TV show Death Valley Days. America was apparently ready to have a cowboy as president, since on that same day his mere presence ended the Iran hostage crisis that his predecessor Jimmy Carter wasn't able to touch. 1969, Richard Nixon takes office. After Kennedy was assassinated, VP Lyndon Johnson took over his job, and at the time, the people of America were tired of fighting a losing war in Vietnam. Richard Nixon, who had lost to Kennedy, as I just mentioned, in 1960, campaigned against Democrat Hubert Humphreys and pledged to remove troops from Vietnam. Richard Nixon would famously say, "After a period of confrontation in Vietnam, we are entering an era of negotiations." 1953, the passing of a very cold torch. Now, presidents and their successors have not always been very polite to each other. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, for instance, didn't get along, and when Jefferson replaced Adams as president, Adams didn't even show up for the ceremony. John Adams' kid, John Quincy, did the same thing when Andy Jackson replaced him as president. But the coldest of shoulders was given to Truman by Eisenhower on January 20th, 1953. For that campaign, Ike called Truman incompetent and corrupt, and Truman was fuming at Ike when Ike said that there was a mess in Washington. Before the campaign, Eisenhower agreed with Truman's policy regarding the Korean War, but during the campaign, he changed his tune entirely. These two men did not like each other. On January 20th, 1953, Ike refused Truman's invitation to join him for coffee in the White House and instead just opted to wait for him in the limo. Ike is known to have said, "I wonder if I can stand sitting next to him." And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for January 20th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page. Let me know what you think about today's episode. For instance, does the passing of the presidential torch get any colder than that between Truman and Eisenhower? So yeah, let me know what your take is. And while you're on the website, you can take a shot at some of the multiple choice quizzes that are on there. I made them all by myself. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. I'll talk about Jimmy Carter, the TV show Our Gang, and Madonna. So don't miss that. And until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. And we will see you tomorrow.